From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was in Washington, D.C. yesterday for the National Governors Association Conference. He took the opportunity to call for the federal government to speed up reimbursements to National Guard units for equipment they have to leave in Iraq.
I think it is not fair to the states for the federal government to go into a war situation and then to take from us the equipment. Every time our National Guards leave, they take with them equipment, but they don't bring it back.
California's National Guard has about 200 trucks, Humvees, and other Guard gear overseas. That's just 5% of the state force's total equipment pool. But overall, the Guard is at roughly half its authorized equipment level because of long-standing shortfalls in federal support. By some accounts, California school districts lost $3 million dumping beef involved in the Westland Hallmark recall. Who pays for that? The state Senate Select Committee on Foodborne Illness took up the question yesterday. Phyllis Bramson-Paul, head of nutrition services for California's Education Department, testified districts will get their money back eventually.
They submit their invoices to us, we submit it to USDA, and then turn around and reimburse districts. We're looking at streamlining that and perhaps fronting the money ourselves so that districts won't be as impacted from a cash flow standpoint.
School districts aren't the only ones hurting. The Wall Street Journal today reports industry officials are warning the recall could force some small meat companies out of business. The journal adds some big firms like Costco have pulled the meat from circulation but haven't destroyed it yet, arguing it would be an unnecessary waste. USDA officials say the meat can't be sold until the recall is lifted. The concern that immigrants, legal or illegal, might be a threat to public safety pops up often in the debate over immigration reform. But as LA Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, a new study finds immigrants are not more likely to commit crimes than U.S. citizens.
After poring over data from all the state's prisons and county jails, researchers for the Public Policy Institute of California discovered that U.S. citizens are twice as likely to be in prison than immigrants are. They also found that among men ages 18 to 40, the demographic most likely to commit a crime, those born in the U.S. are 10 times more likely than immigrants to be incarcerated. Kristen Butcher, a professor at Wellesley College who helped author the study, says the results are interesting because illegal immigrants tend to be men of this age.
Either we're getting a type of person who is choosing to come into the country in order to participate in work activity and don't want to forego those future earnings in order to engage in criminal activity, or it's consistent with a story where we're already doing a lot of things to try to keep immigrants from engaging in criminal activity, and those things are deterring them.
Things like the threat of deportation if an immigrant, legal or illegal, commits a crime. Ira Melman of the Federation for American Immigration Reform says despite the study's results, illegal immigration to the U.S. is contributing to crime, whether it's from immigrants themselves or their children.
So the combination of the immigrants themselves and first generation also results in skewing the data here, and you probably have a much higher percentage if you look at it that way.
Study author Kristen Butcher says she'd like to study incarceration rates among second-generation immigrants, but that there aren't any available data to draw from. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
Health insurers have been taking a lot of heat in California lately for canceling policies after people file claims, based on discrepancies the companies find on the policy application forms. Insurers say they're just trying to ferret out fraud. But state regulators aren't convinced that's the real motivation. Sarah Varney has more.
State regulators and insurance fraud experts say they don't know how many people applying for individual insurance intentionally lie about their health history, but it's likely not a large number. What does often happen, says Cindy Enos, director of California's Department of Managed Health Care, is that applicants have a hard time wading through the dizzying number of questions often written in medical jargon.
The process that really stacks the odds in favor of an individual making a mistake, leaving some information out that later on is deemed to be pertinent, and that entire motivation on the part of a health plan to ask confusing questions and to perhaps get very incomplete information, not follow up on their part, and then wait until claims come in and then go back and do the job that they should have done at the outset.
Under California law, the process of screening applications, called medical underwriting, is supposed to be done before a new policy is issued. But Enos suspects it's cheaper for insurance companies to investigate suspicious claims after policies are approved than to evaluate lengthy applications up front. The Department of Managed Health Care is in the middle of auditing the underwriting practices of California's largest health insurers. Blue Cross and Health Net are already facing million-dollar fines for canceling policies when new members appeared to have made unintentional errors on their applications. Health insurers contend the application process is working, and they point to the fact that only 2 out of every 1,000 individual policies are canceled. Chris Oman is head of the California Association of Health Plans, an industry lobbying group.
When you look at the fact that only 0.2% of all the individual health plan policies are rescinded, I think that tells you that the upfront process is working pretty well. Now, it also says that an awful lot of people who apply are doing the right thing.
Oman says members whose policies are canceled can appeal to the state, but Department of Managed Health Care Director Enos says that process doesn't work.
Most people don't know that they would have the right to complain to us. So, again, to have a process that no one knows about is a pretty meaningless right.
A bill introduced earlier this month by Assemblyman Hector de la Torre, a Democrat from Los Angeles, would expand state oversight of health insurers' cancellation policies. The bill would require health plans to get approval from regulators before canceling a policy. Insurers who break the rule could see their licenses revoked. Industry groups oppose the bill, saying it's too broad and would mean insurers would have to go through months of red tape to cancel a policy, even for members who don't pay their premiums. Health reform efforts that recently failed in Sacramento would have done away with the problem of canceled policies altogether. Insurers would have been required to grant policies to people even with pre-existing conditions like pregnancy and heart disease. But all Californians would have been required to get coverage. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, February 26th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California. On the web at calhospitalcompare.org. The Wesley Foundation, for coverage of immigration issues throughout California, and the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org.